Every Sunday in October, the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola holds a prison rodeo, one of only two such prison events left in this country. Inmates, many of whom are city kids and have never been near livestock before, try their hands at riding bulls, milking wild cows, and mounting bucking broncos. Critics call the rodeo a gladiatorial contest that exposes prisoners to serious injury for the callous amusement of a crowd, but many inmates say they welcome the chance to earn prize money and show the public that prisoners can also be accomplished, sturdy, and daring. NPR's John Burnett traveled to Angola Prison for the last rodeo of this season.
Well, hello, Louisiana! Well, to bring you indeed a very, very unique event. This is the 34th annual. Right here at the wildest show in the South.
All right, bud. You ready?
Yes, sir.
What shoot you in?
Shoot two.
A man in black and white convict stripes lowers himself gingerly onto the twitching back of a bull.
Check that rigging. Yeah, get. All right, bud.
Now, if you buck off, it's your fault. And
yes,
it ain't gonna be mine.
Yes, sir, bud.
The inmate cowboy slips a gloved hand under the strap and cinches it.
Not yet.
I got him.
Yes, sir.
The gate swings open and the bull charges into the arena with the murderer hanging on for dear life. So begins the final day of events at the 1998 Angola Prison Rodeo, one of the oddest traditions in the South, and certainly the most politically incorrect. The official rodeo program promises inmate cowboys fly off the backs of those bulls like corn in a popper, which is an understatement, as we were to find out. Everything about Angola is exaggerated. The size, at 18,000 acres, it's the largest maximum security prison in the country. The sentences, half of the 5,000 inmates are lifers. The history, in 100 years it went from being a ruthless slave plantation to a ruthless convict leasing operation to a ruthless penitentiary. Finally, in 1975, a federal judge stepped in and ordered the prison to reduce overcrowding, hire doctors, disarm inmate guards, and integrate field gangs. Today, Angola is one of the least violent prisons in America, considering its population of rapists, robbers, and murderers. And the rodeo is one of the programs that helps keep the peace, because it gives hundreds of convicts an incentive to behave.
Some guys, you know, don't have no people out there doing anything for them, you know, and they get a chance to make a little money, you know. Make you feel free, man, like you're not a convict that day there, you know. Like, my name is Johnny Brooks, you know, and I like the world to know this here, you know.
With his brawny forearms and vice-grip hands, Johnny Brooks looks like a black Popeye without the pipe. He's serving life without parole for beating a convenience store clerk to death with a stick. In the 24 years he's been here, more than half of his life, Brooks has become arguably the best cowboy in Angola, winning 19 belt buckles, three of them for all-around cowboy. The rodeo has helped him pass the time as the years creep by, and it's raised his stature within the prison.
I ride in bull riding, bareback riding, what's up, wild cow milking, bulldogging. And I'm running it for all-around cowboy right now. I took the lead last week, but I have won it three times and five-time runners-up. Yes, sir. Look like I'm going to win it again there if I get a good ride in today, you know? Yes, sir.
As the rodeo series wound down this year, the rivalry for the coveted all-around cowboy title came down to Johnny Brooks and a stocky, sandy-haired, outgoing inmate nicknamed Smurf.
My name's Cliff Bowman. They call me Smurf. If you ask them who Cliff Bowman is, they'll probably say they don't know. If you ask who Smurf is, they'll say, yeah, we know him. He works for the range crew. He works cattle and came down here working in 1980. And unfortunately, I shot my father-in-law and he died. And they said it was first-degree murder, but it wasn't. But that's if they say it is and they get you like that, then you're just stuck. You know, so I've been 16 years working with that.
It's easy to feel forgotten in space and time at Angola. Driving north out of Baton Rouge, the prison hugs a bend of the Mississippi River at the end of a remote country road. It still looks like a plantation. Horse-drawn buggies ply the roads, cattle graze in fields, and inmates, three out of four of whom are black, hoe cotton under the steamy southern sun. The cattle and row crops are part of a for-profit operation run by the prison to generate revenue. If society considers the men banished to Angola as outcasts, Smurf says the rodeo permits them a small measure of reacceptance.
The rodeo comes and people come from off the street. It gives them an opportunity to see inmates that are not shackled down or, you know, holding a gun on them or something like that. It shows them as people, as individuals. You know, they're doing something constructive. They're having fun. You know, they're working with the free people. You know, so it's just a good thing.
Adds Gary Shaw, a 25-year-old convicted murderer from Shreveport.
You've got to have an outlet. You've got to have something to relieve the stress off your brain. You've got to have the entertainment. But once you come to this rodeo, the crowds roar, the loudspeakers, your family's in the stands. It's unbelievable.
Living on sponge cake, watching the sun melt.
After a while, the Angola Prison Rodeo starts to feel almost normal. The inmate band entertains the crowd with a Jimmy Buffett standard. The Baton Rouge Chevy dealer, who's a big sponsor of the rodeo, is glad-handing. The Angola Lifers Association is selling snow cones and popcorn. And the spectators are taking it all in like a state fair. Brady and Jill Hernandez, an auto mechanic and a secretary, drove 6 hours from Lafayette to be here.
It's different. It's some... a lot wilder stock. It's just, I guess, crazy. I mean, anybody that's going to sit in a chair with a bull loose in the arena and try to stay in there while the bull tries to get him out is just, it's not something you see every day.
I got what you need. Come on, ladies. Come on by here and get what you want here. Yeah. I got the best wilders in town.
But it's more than just the wildest show in the South. It's also the most offbeat arts and crafts fair. Inmates sell hobby crafts in a fenced area next to the arena. Considering most of them earn 4 cents an hour in the fields, the $100 to $400 a talented inmate can make here is a king's ransom. Some items have that special Angola touch. A miniature ball and chain, a cross woven of tightly twisted potato chip bags, and a hand-printed board game titled Serving Time on the River. Instead of a get-out-of-jail-free card, players win prison perks, such as a picnic visit or having a gal boy move to their living quarters.
Place to make it happen. We welcome this afternoon, well, the gentleman that is, well, the leader, director, and the man who believes in what happens right here as it all falls to his post. This is the Wharton Burrow Kane. Wharton Kane.
From his seat above the arena, Burl Kane, a portly man with snow-white hair, is king of all he surveys. The inmate spectators, separated from the free world fans by a chain-link fence, the beefy guards in their blue uniforms, and the would-be cowboys, stamping the dirt and eyeing the livestock apprehensively. For the warden, the rodeo is a means to keep hope alive and overcome the desperation that comes with the knowledge that 8 out of 10 convicts will die here of old age. As the souvenir T-shirt says, Angola ain't no place to be.
Most of these people's life sentences are forgotten after a period of time. We find that your mother loves you longer usually than anybody else, and she'll stay with you. You know, your wife will kind of quit you first, and then pretty soon you're all alone. Because you're here longer, your family dies off.
Then your inmate account dries up, and it becomes hard to afford a pack of Marlboros, a moon pie, or a pack of gum, much less a new pair of Free World Levi's. The rodeo, says Kane, earns money for otherwise indigent prisoners. The warden has become the rodeo's biggest promoter. To make the contestants look more realistic, last year he asked them to wear old-fashioned black and white convict stripes, a move many inmates consider demeaning. He also installed an awning over the bleachers, and he has plans to expand seating. And Kane initiated a new event, convict poker. 4 inmates sit facing each other at a card table in the middle of the arena. Then a wild bull is turned loose. The men who run lose. The last man sitting wins $50.
You gotta be the last man at the table.
Let me know where you come.
Here comes the dealer.
A Brahma bull as heavy as a sports car plows into a seated inmate, then plants a hoof in his face. The beast wheels and returns. With a toss of his huge horns, he upends the table, cracking it like balsa wood. The other 3 men scramble for the stands. A rodeo clown distracts the bull as an EMS crew rushes in to retrieve the injured inmate. Sensitive to criticism that the prison rodeo is brutal, Warden Kane insists they have not had a life-threatening injury in its 34-year history.
that's a really excellent record when you consider the rodeo as a sport in America and the number of injuries you have with the various and sundry cowboys, and there have been people killed in rodeos. So I think our record compared to those may be even a lot better, obviously. The other thing we do to ensure their safety is we hire the very best professional clowns we can find, and that's to get the animal away from you when you finally fall off his back. And then we have professional rodeo producers, but it's a professionally done rodeo.
A New York author named Daniel Bergner spent a year at Angola researching the rodeo and documenting the lives of inmate cowboys. His book was published in October, God of the Rodeo, The Search for Hope, Faith, and a Six-Second Ride in Louisiana's Angola Prison. After an initially positive impression, Bergner came to believe the crowd was there, in his words, for the thrill of watching men in terror made forgivable because the men were murderers. His conclusion? In the end, the rodeo is degrading and excessively dangerous.
Regular rodeo, there's, of course, a chance of injury, a significant chance of injury, and that's part of the excitement. But here you've got these events that are designed for injury. There's a man who's actually a quadriplegic after being, as Johnny Brooks delicately put it, shaken between the bull's horns. Yearly, if not daily, there are broken bones, men knocked unconscious. Pro rodeo riders are definitely injured, but you have to put that relative to the fact that they are competing on hundreds of bulls a year. The most these guys are riding, 4 bulls a year, if that.
Yet the participants, all of whom must volunteer, emphatically deny they're being in some way exploited. Again, Clifford Bowman.
I'm sure there are many that come from the free world just to see a convict get broke up. I mean, I'm sure there's many of them. But for whatever reason they come, it's all right, you know, just come on and see what's going to happen. And there's a lot of us that get broke up.
And this afternoon, well, there are a lot of folks that are in the running. Names like Johnny Brooks.
As the afternoon wears on, the recipient of this year's all-around buckle will be determined by the toughest event, bull riding. Johnny Brooks, a black hat pulled low on his head, climbs onto the massive black hide of a Brangus bull that erupts in anger when he feels the rider on his spine.
Slip, slip.
I got you.
I'm with you, baby. No, not yet, Miss Jimmy.
After a few more adjustments of the strap, Brooks is ready to ride.
Go! Outside!
Only a few seconds out of the chute, the bull slips and falls sideways, pinning the cowboy's left leg.
Let me see if I can walk on it, sir. I can walk on it, you know. I don't feel like nothing broke. Woo, boy. Come on, right? Okay. Yes, sir.
You sure?
Yes, sir. I'm positive.
All right.
Did I get a score on that?
Yeah, I think so.
As soon as the EMS crew helps Brooks out of the arena, the attention shifts to chute number 2, where a stout inmate in a white hat sits astride a brown mottled bull.
The money is on the line right now for Clifford Bowman. Come on, Clifford.
And with that, Bowman waves his hat in the air, smiling ecstatically. The inmate spectators, in their guarded pen, whistle and whoop.
The all-around champion for 1998, and this is the one they all hang on. The winner is Clifford Bowman, the Smurf, in second place. And he's at the infirmary, we believe, Johnny Brooks. He will be our reserve champion for 1998.
The next day, the dulling pace of life in Angola resumes. The inmates stoop in the fields, swinging hoes under the eye of a bored guard leaning on his saddle horn and cradling a rifle. At the warden's ranch house, Johnny Brooks, a t-shirt stretched over his superhero torso, waits for a captain's pickup to wash and relives his losing ride.
The black bull, you know, he lay down on me out there, you know. Wow, man. It was a nice ride. I feel I was going to set him, you know, when he come out. I couldn't help him if he didn't want to stand up. I tried my best. Oh, that's the first time that ever happened to me over there, you know.
Brooks dreams of getting out someday and becoming a professional rodeo cowboy. Some of the rodeo clowns who've watched him believe he's good enough. But at 42 years old, facing a life sentence, and in Louisiana, life means life, Johnny Brooks trains his hopes on a more realistic goal.
You know, I just got to repair, get ready for the next following year coming around again, you know. Yes, sir. Try to put on another nice show for the folks. Yes, sir. I didn't feel bad about losing, you know, because, you know, I keep winning all the time. It won't be no fun, you know.
Out at the Range Crew Barn, the 1998 all-around cowboy, Clifford Bowman, is preparing to shoe the front hoof of a sleek cowpony named Bo Diddley. The Range Crew's job is to care for the horses and tend the cattle raised on the prison. In the last 23 years, the State Pardons Board and Louisiana governors have commuted the sentences of 21 murderers serving life without parole. Clifford Bowman, also a lifer, could not help but be aware that the signature of the governor, who was in the stands yesterday, could set him free.
I would like to impress Governor Foster if I could, you know, and I would like to gain his favor if I could, you know. But, and it's not only just to be an all-around cowboy that I'd like to impress him with. I'd like to show him that I've come a long ways from the Clifford Bowman that was first locked up, you know, first made the mistake many years ago. You know, I would like to show that I believe I could be a productive member of society again.
Do you have any hope, honestly, that you'll live some time out in the world?
Well, as a matter of fact, I have very high hopes of that. Yes, I do.
In 1934, legend has it, the folk singer Leadbelly, imprisoned for assault, sang his way out of Angola when he impressed Governor O.K. Allen. No one seriously believes an inmate cowboy will ride his way to liberty, but when the music is playing and the crowd cheering and the bronc bucking, he may feel free momentarily.
Remember, we want to see you back here because every Sunday in October, it is the place that it is the wildest show in the South. So thank you for being with us on behalf of Warden Kane. Governor Foster, thank you. Sir.
I'm John Burnett, NPR News, Angola, Louisiana.
We also say to you, well, we plan to see you next year. And my name is Mike Mathis from Lufkin, Texas, along with my friend Robbie Tallis. And until we meet again, God bless and Godspeed.
Our story about the Angola Prison Rodeo was produced by Peter Breslow and recorded by Neil Tebalt.